This is President's Week in Chapel. If you haven't noticed, we hosted our presidential candidate of choice on Wednesday, Dr. Susan Schultz Huxman. And today we will receive the final chapel address from Dr. Lauren Swardzendruber. And following his address, the passing of the gavel from current SGA co-presidents to next year's co-presidents. It's President's Week in Chapel. Allow me, if you will, to introduce President Lauren Swardzendruber with a litany of gratitude and celebration. Lauren, we are grateful to have been led these 13 years by you, a man deeply formed in faith from several congregational settings, as a graduate of Iowa Mennonite School and of both EMU and our seminary. We're grateful for the skills and wisdom you gained while serving as Associate Executive Secretary of the former Mennonite Board of Education and as President of Heston College in Kansas. As President of EMU, you effectively led the university toward the fullness of its mission to prepare students to serve and lead in a global context. You championed our efforts of developing critical thinking skills through rigorous academics, enhancing sustainability initiatives, and engaging cross-cultural understanding. You nurtured the campus community with a faithful and pastoral presence, and for these things, we express gratitude. As you move steadily toward retirement, we celebrate with you a successful term as the university's 8th president. And is it 35 years in Mennonite higher education roles? Saying thank you is not enough, but that's what we have to offer this morning here in this space. Thank you, Lauren. Thank you.
Let me begin by offering my unqualified and enthusiastic support for Dr. Susan Schultz Huxman as the candidate of choice. I've known her for many years since our overlapping days in Kansas. I've long admired her deep commitment to Mennonite higher education, to the Anabaptist perspective on Christian faith, her academic achievements, and her superb communication skills. In addition to our shared love of the vast Kansas prairies and the gorgeous sunsets of South Central Kansas, which, as she said, is an acquired taste, we share the common experience of previous presidential experience before coming to EMU that surely does not guarantee no future mistakes, but it does provide a certain level of stability going forward. One is not nearly so likely to panic in the face of challenges and crises. At the same time, I can acknowledge that many years of experience does not prepare one for every possible situation, and it surely does not prevent insomnia. Like Dr. Schultz Huxman, I was also a point guard in basketball, but that's pretty much where our shared experiences end. I can't recall any of my opponents going on to play for the Harlem Globetrotters. Our team at Iowa Mennonite School my senior year did go 18-0, and the highlight was winning the then annual Mennonite High School basketball tournament hosted by Central Christian in Ohio. It happened every year between December and January. We defeated Eastern Mennonite High School in the championship game, and my primary defender was Leo Heatwall. He's a local businessman, very faithful coming to our basketball games. He's also an EMU alum who faithfully supports not only our basketball program but other athletic programs. He loves to tell me, always in jest and pretty much every time we talk, that he's still in therapy from that game in December of 1967. He has a great way of making an old point guard feel positive. More seriously, I did enjoy hearing Dr. Schultz Huxman's reflections on the ways in which being a point guard has relevance for the role of a leader. And I should parenthetically say that I understand some of you have wondered why I was not on campus when she visited. That was by design. There's no need for anyone to be concerned about what is said in my presence, nor is there any need to watch my reaction to anything a candidate might say. So as you can imagine, these are days of much reflection on my part. I've never faced a transition quite like this one. At every other juncture of my life, at times of transition, there's been something to latch on to with respect to future employment that would provide a sense of personal identity. I'm told by Pat, who retired from her professional career about 10 years ago, that this will be much more difficult than I imagine. I'd like to think she's wrong, but I know better after nearly 47 years of marriage. She knows me all too well. In my more contemplative moments, I've thought about some of the significant turning points of the past 48 years since coming to EMU as a shy, quiet, desperately hoping not to be noticed college freshman 1,000 miles away from home. My parents are 8th grade educated. They were supportive of their firstborn coming to college, but it surely qualified as a cross-cultural experience for them when they dropped me off at Maplewood. As many of you know, I transferred back to the University of Iowa after that first year, ostensibly to study pharmacy, but really to reconnect with the person who would become my lifelong partner. We had met in high school. It was, and it is, a sort of storybook romance. The point guard and the cheerleader. Which, of course, sounds and is a very dated story. But we were, as a friend once put it about his own marriage. Is Kevin Griffin here this morning? So, Coach Kevin Griffin, this is a quote from his grandfather, a friend of mine, the late Ken Masterman. Ken put it this way about his relationship to his wife. I was born at an early age, and I married at an early urge. A most significant turning point happened, and this is the first turning point, when we were invited to attend a congregation of the Evangelical Free Church tradition by a pharmacy school classmate. It was a turning point because it was the first time that we had ventured into a theological tradition different from our own history. It was a congregation comprising mostly university undergrads and graduate students. The pastor trusted young people and put us in major leadership roles, even though we had no experience. And at the age of 22, I found myself as chair of the elders and presiding over a Sunday evening congregational meeting in which we voted the pastor out of office by a margin of one vote. He had already encouraged me to switch from pharmacy to prepare for pastoral ministry, and I was too naive to imagine that trusting in young people could ever result in such a disaster for me. That turning point, the mentoring I received from Pastor Hackman, surely impacted the way I see the role of mentoring young adults. Ironically, his theology and mine diverged considerably in subsequent years as the result of another turning point that followed soon thereafter. He went on from that dismissal to plant a new church on the other side of Iowa City, which flourished. We never attended there because I had come here to seminary. In fact, I had the strange experience of preaching the first sermon in that new congregation just before we moved, and that afternoon going to a farewell at the old congregation. 7 years later, I was invited back to a homecoming experience, and I was nearly run out of town for the ways in which my theology had changed from his. Not by him, but by other members of the congregation, some of whom really didn't know me. Just last year, he reached out on Facebook to be my friend. The second turning point came through what I now call a sacred conversation with Ed Stalsfus, then pastor of First Mennonite Church in Iowa City, not so long ago retired professor here at the seminary. He had no reason to accept an appointment with me. We weren't attending their congregation. In some ways, we had left our theological roots to adopt a much more conservative evangelical faith that cared little for the social justice dimensions of the gospel. And I'll always be indebted to Ed for his gracious reception of me as a young person whom he did not know. And the question I was facing was, in selecting a seminary, do I return to my Anabaptist roots or follow some friends who were headed to the Evangelical Free Trinity Divinity Theological Seminary near Chicago? Ed, in his amazingly disarming yet thoughtful way, reached to his bookshelf, handed me a very small book, The Recovery of the Anabaptist Vision, said to me, "Take it home, read it, come back in a week for a conversation." And reading that book made the decision very simple. We were Anabaptists, and I would apply to an Anabaptist seminary. A third turning point. We had left EMU/EMS in 1978 to assume a pastoral assignment in eastern Pennsylvania. The congregation was 450 members, nearly 275 years old, and had never employed a seminary-trained full-time pastor. I was 28. Mind you, I was already married for almost 8 years, and we were pregnant with our third child, but that didn't mean that I was fully prepared for all that would come my way. In fact, I well remember visiting the widow of an elderly late pastor, deceased, who told me from her hospital bed, "You know, Lauren, we used to do this for nothing." Meaning, why are you getting paid for this? Thank goodness I shut down my filters, because I felt like saying, "Well, actually, the salary you're paying me pretty much is nothing." But I amazingly kept my mouth shut. But I soon struggled with the tension that comes from being in a role where the job is never done and the need for self-care and resiliency for the long haul. At one point near the end of that first year, I was offering some self-pity to the church council. I was simply reflecting in a self-pity kind of mode, and I made the observation that of the first 7 people who had died since my arrival, every single one of them had died on a Monday, which was my day off. And the question was obvious. Why can't I even get a day off? And one of my friends, he is actually a long-time, lifelong friend, on the council offered another question. Had I considered that perhaps the sermons on Sunday had been so awful that they couldn't bear to stick around any longer? Now, my thought had been, they were so great that they were now prepared for eternity. It's all a matter of perspective. It would be some years later, after that very intense 5-year experience, when I came across the concept of non-anxious presence. And as I've reflected on that, life as a young pastor would have been much more manageable if Rabbi Friedman's writings had been on my reading list much earlier. The last turning point came when the executive secretary of the former Mennonite Board of Education offered me a role in Elkhart, Indiana. In retrospect, I have some regrets for leaving the pastorate so early. It's a difficult vocation, but it's also very fulfilling. Except perhaps for a physician in family practice, one rarely has such incredible opportunities to witness the most tender moments of human lives. And to be sure, there are experiences in the pastorate that are relevant for a future Christian college president, but it may not be the best preparation one could choose. The fact is that I didn't specifically prepare for this role, because I never carried this as a dream. So I've shared those brief reflections for what I hope and pray is encouragement, particularly for those of you as students, to trust God for your future, to enjoy the journey, much of which will be a series of unexpected surprises. And I close with the passage from Philippians 1, one that has frequently reminded me that life in faith is a journey. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that the one who began a good work in all of us will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Amen.
Well, as you've already heard, this is a time for presidential transitions. And we're very grateful for Lauren and his role here. We also want to express our gratitude to the Student Government Association. And I'd like at this time for the co-presidents current, Hannah Heishman and Rachel Schrock, to come forward, along with the newly elected SGA co-presidents, Quinn Catherine Berg and Elizabeth Wilder. If those four could come forward, we'd like them to come up on stage. And they're going to engage in a tradition that, although some will say is perhaps dated, it carries significance. The gavel that they are passing is one that was made by a former president of Eastern Mennonite University. And he made it in his own wood shop. And it's been passed on from year to year by the co-presidents. So we will now have the passing of the gavel ceremony from this year's co-presidents to the incoming co-presidents to mark this transition to the new SGA Executive Cabinet.
As co-president for SGA for 2015 through 2016, I, Hannah Heishman, do hereby pass the duties and privileges of the office to the rightfully and duly elected co-presidents for fall semester 2016.
As co-president for 2015-2016, I, Rachel Schrock, do hereby pass the SGA gavel to signify this act.
I, Quinn, do hereby accept this gavel and will assume the duties and privileges of Office of SGA Co-President.
Our acceptance of the SGA gavel signifies this act.
As you can see, we have to raise this gavel up. This now signifies we have new SGA co-presidents, and they are now prepared to take office and to take action.
Our first action as newly appointed SGA co-presidents is we invite all undergraduate students to join us on Sunday, April 24th in Common Grounds from 8 to 10 p.m. from a Come and Go event.
We hope you will come share your hopes, frustrations, and or worries for the coming school year so we can begin to shape our agenda and programs to fit your needs. We look forward to serving you. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Andrew Miller, Director of Cross-Cultural Programs here at EMU. I would invite all those who are engaging in summer programs, travels, other things, to come forward now, and I will announce groups that are leaving us as they come forward. As you know, we're welcoming back several semester cross-cultural groups, and they'll be presenting in chapels next week, but we're also in the process of getting ready to send new groups. From our cross-cultural office, we have five programs this summer: a six-week program to Lithuania with Jerry Holsoppel and Carissa Luganbill, a Myanmar six-week program to Myanmar with Lana Miller and myself as leaders, a three-week Quebec cross-cultural with Nancy Heisey and Lydia Stoll, a three-week Washington, D.C. program with Deanna Durham, and a local context program with Byron Peachy. There's also two other faculty-led groups doing some other really great stuff. Midwives for Haiti Senior Seminar with Ann Schaefer, Global Urban Trek to North Africa with Johanna and Julian Turner. And I know there's also others of you who are doing other interesting cross-cultural travel experiences this summer as well in informal ways. I invite Lana Miller, undergraduate campus pastor, to ask a blessing for these groups.
For those of you who want to join in prayer, I would just invite you to come forward and surround this group of students and faculty, staff who are here. Join me in prayer together. God, we acknowledge that you have been present with us this morning, that you are present with us each day and wherever we go. This morning, we especially ask your protection and blessing on each of the students and leaders who will be traveling on cross-cultural to Lithuania, Myanmar, Quebec, Washington, D.C., and the other student groups traveling to Haiti and North Africa. We also pray for those who will host them along the way. We're grateful for the desire and willingness of these students and leaders to step into unknown places, to grow, to learn, to be challenged through this cross-cultural experience. God, we ask that you open their eyes to the extraordinary world that you have created, that they would have hearts and minds of curiosity, openness to seeing you in unlikely places, and that they would care for one another along the way. May you be evident to them in moments of loneliness, in moments of fear or anxiety, and also times of joy and discovery as they learn more about who you are, about others, themselves, and the wonderful world that you have created. We pray for the safety and health of each one, not only for them, but the people that they meet and for those they leave behind. May the people that host each of these groups have the energy and wisdom to know best how to introduce them into the context where they live. We pray for the leaders of these groups. Give each of them wisdom for the journey and the ability to sense your presence along the way. Thank you, God, for the opportunity that each of us have as travelers and learners, able to risk stepping out of what is comfortable and into a world where we become more vulnerable and dependent on your love and protection, dependent on the community that we form and experience in other places. In your mercy we pray. Amen.